My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
I've got some very mixed signals, Nat.
I've got the fishiest war of all time.
Date fight!
Hello there, and welcome to Date Fight. It's the podcast where we take great moments from history and pitch them against each other.
He's Jake Yap. I'm Nat Tapley. It's the 7th of January, and we have trawled through the entire library of history to pull out two of the best romance novels of fact, only to compare them to see which is the Barbara Taylor Bradford of truth.
No, and which one is the Alan Titchmarsh. Okay, then.
You can't get through one episode without mentioning Titchmarsh.
No, I can't. Anyway, it hasn't really got anything to do with romantic fiction. It's all fact, and it's all history. Very serious.
Yeah. Actually, don't be misled by what we just said. That was all, actually. We're just going to compare historical facts and see who's his best.
That's a great distillation of it. Well, yeah, and it's generally Nat's. Okay, let's see this.
Let me take you back to the 7th of January, 1976. And the escalation of a war, Jake.
Yeah.
Serious war being escalated.
Yeah.
So don't,
no.
You know,
all right.
It's a war we're talking about where people, no one died. It's not, no person died. A lot of fish died, though.
Mm.
A lot of fish died, Jake, in the Icelandic Cod War.
And cod wept.
The third Icelandic Cod War. I know you're a big fan of the second Icelandic Cod War as your
favourite. That's my favourite one. That was brilliant.
This is the third Icelandic Cod War. Because ever since the 16th century, when we've been going over to Iceland, Greenland, the North Atlantic, to collect loads of cod. There were loads of cod over there. In fact, so many cod that had been worth going even in the 15th and 16th centuries when boats were much, much worse. In fact, do you remember when we talked about when the pilgrims turned up in America and there were no Native Americans in New England because they'd all been killed by a plague brought over by people going to fish for cod in the North Atlantic? We've been doing it since then. Every year,
ta-da,
going to collect huge numbers of cod, because there were loads of cod over there, so many that it made it worthwhile just sailing thousands of miles to go and get them. At some point, the Icelandic people went, you know what, that's not okay with us, you have to go somewhere else now. And in 1974, the law of the sea had made an exclusion zone of 200 miles around Iceland, which the British were very upset about, because we liked going there and getting all our fish from there, because there were loads more than there were in the North Sea. So we had the Third Icelandic Cod War, in which the Icelandic people tried to cut the nets of our trawlers, and our trawlers kept barging them, and the Royal Navy got involved. And on the 7th of January, 1976, HMS Andromeda collided with the Thor in the most severe incident of the Third Icelandic Cod War.
Crikey.
A Royal Naval frigate collided with an Icelandic gunboat within the 200-mile exclusion zone. The Royal Navy, at the time, was looking for some sort of war to get involved with, because Chancellor Dennis Healey was at the time planning to cut the Navy, so a Cod War was nice and handy for them, despite the fact that we lost it and we ended up having to agree to stay outside the 200-mile exclusion zone, which led to the decimation of Britain's fisheries, because it wasn't other people being allowed to fish in our waters like we'd like to blame on the EU. It was actually the fact that we lost the big stocks of North Atlantic cod, which had access to up until the late 1970s.
Wow. There was Yeah, go on.
Sorry. It had another huge effect, and I know this will particularly be has affected your life, in that the lack of North Atlantic cod led to the development of the saveloy. Without which, if it weren't for the Third Atlantic Cod War, we wouldn't have the saveloy.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
I had never thought of that. I'd never imagined that that's where the saveloy came from.
That was where we can't have any cod anymore. What else can we make? I don't know, something that'll survive in a fryer without bursting. Saveloys it is. Make it completely out of condoms, please.
Would you like the virgin saveloy? I mean, that cod war was, because I mean, I don't quite remember it. I was a little bit too young, but there was a lot of anxiety because the British government drafted mothers, didn't they, to go and fight in that. And that gave rise to the phrase, mum's gone to Iceland.
Yes. Mm. Sadly, very few mums came home from Iceland.
No, just lost the will to live. Or the Emporium of Frozen Tears, as I like to think of it. But they do extremely good vegan stuff now.
Do they?
They really do.
Well done, them. We'll have to go and hunt for vegan things off their waters.
Vegan Savoy, please.
Vegan Savoy, oh my word.
That's the non-latex version.
Vegan food manufacturers, please spend your time on something other than the vegan Savoy.
Well, I'm going to take you to the 7th of January, 1954.
Oh.
To New York and the head office of IBM.
Oh.
And this was a public demonstration of a computer-based translation system. It was the first ever one that there ever was. This was developed by Georgetown University and IBM. Mm. And they did this experiment where they fed into a computer. I think they had like a hole punch probably and had to go clack it, clack it, clack it, clack it, just to make like an R.
Yeah.
They had the computer was tasked with automatically translating more than 60 Russian sentences into English.
Oh.
So it was romanized Russian, so it wasn't backwards R's. They didn't have to do that. Right. It was all done in the 26 letters of the normal the British alphabet. Thank you.
Classic. Alphabet classic.
You're right. I'm sorry, mate. English alphabet. And there was a huge range of topics, political, legal, mathematical, scientific, and the resulting English translations appeared on a printer. So it was phrases like, we transmit thoughts by means of speech.
And did it get them right?
It got them right. It did really well. And there's sentences like, international understanding constitutes an important factor in decision of political questions.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is there a sense in which having to translate something from Russian to Russian-y English to punch card into machine code is less efficient than just getting a Russian person to read it and tell us what it says?
It's the 50s, mate. You can't go talking to Russians.
I've got four rooms full of machinery to do what one human brain can do in seconds.
The computer, which was about the size of a man sitting on a stool inside a cardboard box, was publicised by journalists and perceived as a huge success. And there was a huge government surge of investment into computational linguistics. And the people who made it said, number one, ignore that coughing coming from inside the computer. And two, he's got a cold. And two, within 3 to 5 years, machine-based computer translation will be a solved problem.
Oh.
Of course, it wasn't. Not at all. And there was a massive tail off of investment, and it didn't go well.
But it
and,
is now.
Well, exactly. Here's the thing. I took the original sentences that they did with the IBM experiment, and I translated them into Russian on Google Translate, and then I translated them back. And they did an annoyingly passable and banal job of it, which is really annoying because I thought, there'll be some funny translations. So
let's have some lovely gibberish to show how stupid computers are and how clever we are.
So here we are, 3 years into the future from 1954. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Google Translate even does a very good job of translating leave means leave. From English to Russian and back.
What does it does it perfectly, does it?
It does. Оставит
означает. It's interesting. It's almost like that message has been filtered through Russian several times before.
Very good.
To Katie Couric, the anchor of CBS Evening News, whom CNN President Reese Schoenfeld once banned from the air because of her squeaky high-pitched voice. Happy birthday too to Nicolas Cage, who built a pyramid-shaped grave for himself in 2010. He also once bought a haunted house so he could write a horror novel in it. I didn't get too far with the novel, he said.
What?
Happy birthday too to Thomas of Woodstock, who was one of the crazy uncles of Richard II, whom we talked about yesterday. In fact, he was the craziest of Richard II's crazy uncles and burst into his room in the middle of the night when Richard II was a young boy, only to shout at him. because that's the kind of crazy guy he was. Happy birthday, Thomas of Woodstock, crazy uncle. Happy Death Day. Happy Death Day to Inés de Castro, who was the lover of Prince Pedro of Portugal, but Prince Pedro of Portugal's father, Alfonso IV, didn't approve, and he banished her and ordered her death. Pedro, however, found the people who assassinated her and ripped their hearts out in front of a crowd, saying they had ripped his heart out when they killed her.
Wow.
Yeah. He did not mess about, Prince Pedro of Portugal.
Nothing more fun than a metaphor made real.
Yeah. Did someone want to explain to him, actually, no, that's not literal, that's just... Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is embarrassing.
It is. Oh. It is raining cats and dogs.
Happy Death Day to St. Lucian of Antioch, the presbyter of Antioch, who died at sea and whose body was returned to land by a kindly dolphin.
Wow. I didn't see that, Flipper.
Also, happy Death Day to Annie Mae Hayes, the first American woman to achieve the rank of Brigadier General. She died in 2018. Happy Death Day, Annie Mae Hayes.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future. Because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts. So I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Okay, let's go back to the 7th of January, 1904, and the establishment of an international distress signal.
Ooh.
Three letters,
yeah.
Which are, of course...
S-O-S.
C-Q-D.
Oh, mother...
No, not that. CQD, they decided...
Oh, which stands for...
Well...
Of course.
It stands...
Come quickly, darling.
That's good. Well, there were a lot of popular beliefs about what it did mean. Come quickly, darling, wasn't one of them, but come quick, danger.
Okay.
Come quickly, distress. Or my favourite, come quick, drowning. Yeah. These, it takes ages in Morse, but
yeah.
Those are what are known as backronyms.
Oh.
Those are not what it stood for. So CQ would be pronounced in French sécu, from the French word sécurité. So in the world of telegraphs, that would always mean this is a sort of a general bulletin kind of important thing that everyone should pay attention to. And D stood for distress. So CQD was, because D was also used internationally to indicate an urgent message. So CQD, come on, guys, makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it does.
All stations, distress.
Much more than save our souls. That's rubbish.
Well, save our souls is another backronym.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So at the second International Radio Telegraphic Convention held in Berlin in 1906, and which by all accounts was wild, they decided three dots, three dashes, three dots should be the international distress signal.
Yeah.
And that was just, it's just easy to remember.
Yeah.
It wasn't to actually stand for SOS, because it actually stands for... SOS or IWB or VZE or 3B or V7.
Right.
But SOS is just easier to remember.
Mm.
And so 2 years after this 1904 idea, in 1906, they decided, no, actually we're going to go with three dots, three dashes, three dots.
Mm.
And then 8 years later, on April the 15th, 1912, the RMS Titanic's radio operator Jack Phillips initially sent CQD, which was still commonly in use by British ships.
But he was just saying, come quickly, dolphins.
Come quickly, darling.
Dolphins, says, well, let's return all these bodies to shore very quickly.
Harold Bride, who is the junior radio operator, said, maybe we should do SOS as well. And sort of half-joking, said, oh, it might be your last chance to use this new code.
Oh, dear.
And
that went very dark very quickly.
And, yeah, Bride survived the sinking, but Phillips did not. So
he got to tell the story, did he?
So, ironically, yes, Bride, who suggested SOS, survived. So you can learn a lot from that. So Save Our Souls was just an acronym that people made up. And Save Our Ship, other people thought it stood for. Which is a bit like May Day, the international vocal
yeah.
version of SOS, You Say Mayday,
yeah.
which is from...
The French Mayday.
Yes.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Because, okay. apparently, yeah. mm-hmm. at the time when these were both formalised, the international language
yes.
was French
of course.
Next.
Yes. Well, quite rightly, because, as we know...
Excuse
the
me?
Normans, that
Excuse
was our,
me?
That was our language. The Normans gave it to us. That's our language, really.
Mate, we gave it to them.
Yes, we gave it to them.
Or sank.
You what? May use you may use the language that we use. You may, we said.
You Mayday.
Mayday.
British holiday.
Thank you for that. It's lovely. I almost feel ashamed to take you to the 7th of January 1999 and to lower the tone somewhat to begin talking about the impeachment of one William Jefferson Clinton.
Yes.
Listen to the excitement in your voice. Go on. How are you going to get around this on a family podcast? What was he impeached for, Nat? What was he impeached for? Well,
dash, 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 dot, 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 dash, dash, dash.
You might ask that, Jake. And I will tell you that the articles of impeachment brought against him were, 1, lying under oath and obstruction of justice, and 2, witness tampering and abuse of power. And nothing else is relevant to be mentioned in this context.
Absolutely right. I don't think it would be appropriate to do so.
No. He had a Senate trial, which had videotaped closed-door depositions. And in the closing argument, the prosecution said, "A failure to convict will make the statement that lying under oath, while unpleasant and to be avoided, not all that serious. We've reduced lying under oath to a breach of etiquette, but only if you were the president. And now, let us all take our place in history on the side of honour, and, oh yes, let right be done." They didn't, however, let right be done. They let him off, so he didn't get convicted.
I didn't really follow all of that. I don't mean what you said. I mean the actual original impeachment thing. And I should have done. You know, I was old enough, but I was like, oh.
No, I don't. It was a very busy time, 1999. There was lots going on.
Prince. Yeah.
The Spice Girls were falling out of favour.
Hoarding food for the millennium.
Yeah, we were all preparing for the millennium.
Yeah.
You know. Wild West was out at the cinema. There was all sorts going on.
Will Smith had a wonderful millennium, didn't he?
He did. He had a great time.
I wish I'd had a millennium like Will Smith's.
Yes, I think we all wish that we'd had a millennium like Will Smith's.
I mean, what a lie. Oh, I think I'll make a movie. Oh, it went to number one. Oh, I think I'll make an album. Oh, it went to number one. Wow, okay. What a nice time you're having.
Mm. Yeah, I wish him all the best.
I wish him every success. We'll be back for another date fight tomorrow, though. In the meantime, if you could
yes, we will.
Subscribe to us so that we're kind of a permanent part of your life. You don't have to listen every day, but
yes.
It's great if we're on your phone.
No. Every couple of days, just check in.
Just check in, see if we're all right. You know, it's sort of like putting food out for a stray cat. That's how you should see it.
Yeah, hedgehog.
Yeah.
Imagine the milk will give us osteoporosis.
Yeah. Don't pick us up because we have got fleas. We'll be back tomorrow. Take care.
I am curled into a ball as we speak. Bye.
Come on, please. But otherwise, very enjoyable.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.